Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes Zayin, the 16th Pasuk. Avshalom rebelled against David, and there was a battle. Avshalom's forces were defeated, 20,000 men were killed. Avshalom himself was running, or was fleeing, or was actually on his mule, and as he was fleeing on the mule, his hair got caught in the branches of an elm tree, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, and he was seen. We'll see in this today, Mir Hashem, who saw him. He was noticed. The word was told to Yoav, who was the general with David's forces. Yoav went, saw Avshalom hanging on the tree, and killed him. He took 3 staves and he stabbed him, and then actually 10 of his lads surrounded him, and they all struck Avshalom, and they killed him. And David had given very clear instructions. La'at li lanar Avshalom, go easy. Go easy on the boy, on Avshalom. But Yoav didn't care. Yoav assumed that this was the best thing. So he went ahead and he went directly against what David had said, and he killed Avshalom. Now in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayiska Yoav Bashofar. Yoav blew the shofar. Vayoshav Ha'om Mirdof Achrei Yisrael, and the people refrained from pursuing Yisrael, from pursuing the army of Avshalom, the Jewish nation. Ki chosach Yoav es ha'om. Yoav restrained the people, and he insisted that they stop. The people obviously felt victory was in their hands. David's forces were tremendously outnumbered. And the fact that there was almost a simen min hashamayim, you could see heavenly assistance. The fact that David's small force was able to defeat the much greater army of Avshalom. We learned it was ideal battle conditions. It was in the forest, where in general you don't arrange your army in a unified force because they were fighting among the trees and the bushes. It was certainly to the benefit of Yoav's army. Yoav actually had a third of the army, and Avishai and Ittai, all of David's men were fighting under ideal conditions, but there was a special siyata d'shmaya. The fact that Avshalom somehow got separated from his forces, and he was all alone, and he's riding, and his hair gets caught on the branch, and we learned that the simple thing is he would have taken a sword and cut his hair. But Chazal say he saw Gehenna open in front of him, that if somehow if he would fall down from that branch, he would end straight up in Gehenna. So Avshalom was afraid to do anything, and he's there hanging from the tree. He was probably yelling, hoping somebody would come help him. He couldn't release himself. David's forces felt victory, and they wanted to continue the battle, and Yoav held them back. I say it's hard to know exactly how to. We'll see more about Yoav. But on one hand, he went directly against David HaMelech. On the other hand, his calculation in terms of what would be best for the nation, it seems like he does his own thing and he doesn't listen to the king, but he certainly seems to have the best in mind for Klal Yisrael. In other words, all he needed to do was kill Avshalom. And if David would, if they would have left Avshalom alive, and perhaps they would have broken out into civil war, as long as Avshalom's alive, there's no knowing what would happen. So he saw to it that Avshalom was killed. And once Avshalom is killed, there's no reason to fight further. We're all brothers. It's all of Klal Yisrael. There were those who backed Avshalom. But now that Avshalom's out of the picture, everything can go peaceful again. So he held the people back. There shouldn't be any more fighting. Vayikhu es Avshalom. They took Avshalom. Vayashlichu oso vayar. And they threw him in this forest. El hapachas ha-godol, into a big hole. We learned that the forest seemed to consume a lot of the men who were killed in the forest. It could be there were many ditches and ravens and people were running and they fell into off in a deep gorge, and they were banging into the trees and the bushes, and there were wild animals. But there were big holes there, and they found a big hole, and they threw Avshalom in. Vayatzivu alav galavonim, and they put on top of Avshalom a mound of stones, gadol ma'od, that was very great. There was a large pile of stones. V'chol Yisrael, and the rest of Klal Yisrael, all of the Avshalom's army, nasu ish lo'olav, everyone ran back to his tent. They fled. The war is over. Avshalom here thought that he's going to become the next king. And we learned it wasn't clear whether he really planned to kill David, or he was just wanted to make it clear that he was going to be the successor. He would take over as the heir apparent to the throne. And of course he would leave David alive and David would continue running the Malchus. But he wanted to make it clear it's not going to go to Shlomo. He's going to be the king. And we see how he ended up. He ends up being killed and thrown into this hole. All of his dreams of grandeur ended up somewhere in this, under the pile of stones. They didn't take him, they didn't give him any royal burial, he wasn't put into the Kivrei HaMalachim where the kings are buried. It could be, first of all, if somebody's killed, he's buried where he's killed. In a regular case, a person dies, he's taken to a regular cemetery. Here he was killed, he was just buried where that happened. And in general, he doesn't belong in the royal graves because he rebelled against the king. So he's buried in the most ignoble way, just thrown into this big hole in the forest. And they put on a large pile of stones. The simple meaning is that they should know that the mace that he was buried here, it should be very clear that this is not just a hole with some stones in it, but it should be clear this is actually a grave. And it could be it was also meant as a warning and a lesson to whoever sees this. It stood out and everyone would notice this tremendous pile of stones and they would remember what happened to Avshalom who rebelled against David HaMelech. And the people, V'chol Yisrael, all the people, Nasu Ish La'ohalav, they ran, they fled to their tent. The way it's written, without a yud, La'ohalo, everyone went to his tent. Ohalav would mean they ran to their tents, which is the way we read it. Nasu Ishla Ohalav, everyone ran to their tents. But it's written Ohalo. Every individual went to his own tent. There was such a sense of embarrassment. David HaMelech hadn't done anything. There was a lot of talk and there were a lot of rumors and this whole story with Bathsheba. It was known that David did something that was not proper, but he had been such a popular king and the people loved him and they knew he was such a tzaddik and a chassid, and even though he had this dark shadow of who knows what happened, but the truth is there was really no reason for the people to rebel against David. And Avshalom somehow was a charismatic leader and he was able to convince everybody that he would judge them and he would help them and he cared about them and he had this way of stealing their hearts that we learned about. He stole the heart of his father and convinced him he wants to go to Hebron to bring a korban. And he convinced Bezdin that they should accompany him. And then he convinced Klal Yisrael he's on their side. But the whole thing was, really, wasn't a sensible war. Why are they going to war against David HaMelech for? And now they saw that it was a failure. Avshalom was killed. And that's it. So everyone ran back to his own tent with an embarrassment. There was no groups of people. There was no, everyone just didn't want to be part of this. Go back to his tent and pretend it never happened. And the sense of embarrassment, Chazal say, Kol oisa aveiro misbayesh. If a guy does an aveiro and he's embarrassed, he's forgiven. In other words, a person feels a sincere embarrassment. And we'll see there were many cases where Klal Yisrael was taken to task for doing something wrong. Even something that would seem relatively minor. We'll see when, let's say, King Shaul was killed. It was right after the Plishtim defeated Klal Yisrael. And it was such a time after they lost the war, people didn't properly eulogize Shaul. There wasn't the hespedim like it should have been. I assume because it was just such turmoil after losing the war. But we'll see, we'll learn later, there was a complaint against Klal Yisrael. Why didn't they eulogize Shaul HaMelech? The hespedim weren't the way it should have been. But you don't find a complaint on Klal Yisrael while they followed Avshalom. There were 20,000 killed in the battle, but everyone else went home, and afterwards you don't find any complaint against the Jewish nation. The punishment happened, whatever, those 20,000 were killed, but that's it. Everyone ran back himself, they were embarrassed, they felt they had the full charata, the regret for having done this, and they were forgiven. And the story continues. So Avshalom is now buried over there under the stones. That was not his plans. In fact, Avshalom lokach, Avshalom took, vayatzev lo b'chayev, and he set up in his lifetime, es matzeves, a pillar, asher be'emek hamelech, in the valley of the king. There were many valleys outside Yerushalayim, the Kidron Valley, there was the Gei Ben Hinnom, the Valley of Hinnom. Yerushalayim has Harim Savivlo, there's mountains around Yerushalayim, and in between the mountains you got valleys. There was a place called the Emek HaMelech. And he set up in this place, this is actually between Yerushalayim and Har HaZeisim. In this place, Ki Amar, he said, Ein li vein, I have no son. Bavur Hazkir Shmi, and he wanted his name to be mentioned. It shouldn't be forgotten. So he took and he set up this pillar in the valley. Vayikra lamatzeves al shemo. And he called this pillar after him. He named it after himself. Vayikore lo. You know, a lot of times people give a name and somehow the name doesn't stick. But he called it Al-Shemo Vayikori Lo, and that's what it was called. The name remains, and Klal Yisrael always calls this place Vayikori Lo. It was called Yad Avshalom, the monument of Avshalom. Ad Hayom Hazeh, till today. And very often it says in Nach, till today, it means till the Sefer was written, till the book of the Novi was written. But here, actually, Ad HaYom HaZeh, we know even nowadays where the Yad Avshalom is, where the pillar is. It's at the below Har HaZeisim. It's in the valley, and it has a distinctive feature to it, like a cone shape, and it's well known as the Yad Avshalom. Avshalom made this monument. In fact, some say that he made this, and he figured he would be buried there. He built it, and they would have been buried under, this would have been the Ohel, like the monument over his grave, and he would have been buried in it. Obviously, that didn't happen. He was buried wherever he was, but it did remain as a remembrance of him. Avshalom lokach. Avshalom took. It doesn't say what it took. Avshalom took, and he set up in his lifetime this pillar. The Gemara says in Sota, when it discusses Avshalom, the Gemara begins on Yud Amud Beis and continues on to the next Amud. The Gemara says, "My lokach, what did Avshalom take?" Omre shloki shalokach mekach ra la'atzmo. He took a bad deal for himself. You know, the guy who went ahead and he went into business, he took the wrong thing. He took this role in life, he took this position, and he took a bad deal. He set up the matzeves asher be'emek hamelech, this pillar in the valley of the king. What's the valley of the king? Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, the valley means there's some deep counsel. There's a deep advice that has a lot of meaning to it. The Eitzah Muka Shel Malko Shel Olam, the king of the world, Hashem, the king of the world, had a plan how he's going to punish David HaMelech. There's that Be'emek HaMelech, in the valley of the king, deep down there's a whole chain of events that has to be brought to bear by Hashem to see to it that David will be punished. Dechsiv hineni mekim alecha roha mi beisecha. I'm going to bring up against you, David, evil from your house, from your own household, somebody's going to rise against you. That's what Hashem said. David is going to get the punishment. Somebody had to do it. Vayikach Avshalom. Avshalom lokach. Avshalom took this idea that he's going to do it. Obviously, he thought he'd be successful. But somebody had to do it. And Avshalom was the one, the Rasha, who grabbed that chance of turning against David. So he took this he took this bad deal. He got involved in this. Vayatsev lo b'chayev, and he established in his life es matzeves the pillar asher be'emek hamelech. It could mean he, at the cost of his life, vayatsev lo b'chayev, he established with his life, he saw to it that the words of Hashem would be established. La'olam Hashem devorcha nitzav. Hashem's words are permanent, and they will happen, and they will remain. Vayatsev lo b'chayev, at the expense of his life, he established es matzeves, this permanence, in the valley of the king, that the counsel of Hashem, the deep thoughts of the king of the world, should be established. And that's what Avshalom gave up his life for. The fact that he was willing to do this, obviously he didn't intend to do this. He intended to rebel against David HaMelech. But whatever he did, you should be aware this was part of the divine plan. And if he wouldn't have done it, somebody else would have had to arise from David's house and rebel against David. Somebody was going to do it. And obviously there Avshalom was given, just being aware of the fact that it had to happen, gives you a different view of Avshalom. Obviously, it was terrible, and he had no right to do it. But if he wouldn't have done it, somebody would have had to do it, and he was obviously the one given this nisoyon. He was given this beauty, this beautiful hair, this ability to convince people. He was given the fact that he was the oldest son of the king, and he heard somebody else, Shlomo, was going to become the king after David. There were a number of factors why Avshalom was given a nisoyon that he felt he really deserved to be the next king. And somebody was going to do it. And at the expense of his life, Avshalom grabbed this opportunity to rebel against David. And as the Gemara brings down, you have a similar expression. When it says, Yaakov sent Yosef, to see how the brothers were doing. Vayishlacheyu me'emek Chevron. He sent them from the valley of Chevron. And as the Gemara says, the valley of Chevron is the Eitza Amuka, with the deep advice of the tzaddik buried in Chevron, that Avraham Avinu was told his children would be in a land that wasn't theirs for these years of servitude. And Avraham was told that Klal Yisrael would have to go into Golus. When Yaakov sent Yosef, it was sent me'emek Chevron. Again, the Torah used that expression from the valley, but it means the deep thoughts of the one who was buried in Chevron, that he knew one of his descendants would have to go into Golus. And that's what it's saying over here. And he said this, ki ein lo ben, he had no son. So the Gemara asks, v'lo havu le'boni, why he didn't have sons? We learned before, in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chav Zayin, it said over there very clearly, that Avshalom had a family. It said, Vayvoldu l'Avshalom, it was born to Avshalom three sons and one daughter by the name of Tamar. She was an Isha Yafast Mare, a beautiful woman. And Perek Yudalid. It says Avshalom had three sons and a daughter. So what's the Pusik saying now? He had no sons. He had to make this monument, a pillar. He should be remembered. V'lahavulei boni, it says, He had children. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Shlohayilo Bein Hagun LeMalchus. He had no son that was fit to take over the Malchus after him. As Avshalom started off his life, and he figured he's going to take the throne from David. But he realized that after him, there's no continuation to the throne. These three sons, none of them was fit to be king. And after he ended, that would be the end of his royal lineage. It would have to go back to one of the other sons of David. So he set up a monument that he should be remembered, even though his children wouldn't carry on his position. In Rav Chista Amar Gemiri, we have a Mesorah called Hasoreif Tevuasa Shel Chaveiro. If one burns another one's crops, his grain, Eina Maniach Bein LiYorsho, he won't leave over a son to Yarshin him. To burn somebody else's crops, I assume the crops of food. I'm not sure if the main point is it's the crops of food or it belongs to somebody else. And if somebody burns another person's crops, he won't leave over a son to yarshin him. V'yu kal yelidiyoav. And we had earlier, when Avshalom came back to Yerushalayim and David was ignoring him, and he didn't get an audience with his father, the king. And Yoav didn't help him out. So he burned the crops of Yoav, hoping that Yoav would react and would find out what's going on, and which happened. He burned Yoav's crops, and eventually he did get an audience. Yoav saw to it that he was brought to David. But since he burned the fields of Yoav, that's why it happened, that his children were nifter, his children died, so he had no children. So it could either be he had children that weren't fit to take over after him, or the children had died. But Vayatzev lo b'chayev, he set up in his lifetime, or at the expense of his life, he made this matzevus, a pillar that was in the valley of the king. He made the Yad Avshalom, that he should be remembered. B'chayev is written without a yud. We read the word b'chayev, but there's a missing yud. And Chazal say he lost 10 years from his life. Now, as he would have died, I assume, naturally, and he would have lived another 10 years had he not sinned by taking the 10 pilagshim of his father David. Now, as he was killed, and every part of his rebellion received its punishment, midah keneged midah, measure for measure, and therefore he's missing a year because he was punished by missing 10 years of his life. The truth is, the lesson of Yad Avshalom, it's Avshalom, obviously, this is not, but the Navi lets us know that a person has that desire, that nobody lives forever, and he wants to have a remembrance, something, Bavur Hazkir Shemi, his name should be mentioned. And the truth is, it's a good type of feeling a person should have. You know, people sometimes go through the midlife crisis. A person all of a sudden, one day realizes to himself, you know, what am I doing with my life? Like, what's going to be? What am I accomplishing? And sometimes if the person's not grounded properly, he goes ahead and he does something frivolous, he does something crazy, whatever, he doesn't do something well thought out. But the feeling, it really should be an impetus. A person should realize at some point, you know, he should plan out that Lacher Meiv Esrim, nobody's here forever, and he should leave over after him either a family, or talmidim, or do some inyan of tzedakah, or some chesed, or some project, or something that he's carried on, that he's carried on. And Avshalom felt that need, and obviously this is not the most significant way of doing it. He built this Yad Avshalom, this monument of Avshalom. But this need that a person wants to carry on, he wants him to be remembered, is a human quality, and it's something that should be used in the right way. V'achimatz ben Tzadok. Achimatz ben Tzadok Omar. Now, when David had left Yerushalayim, he had sent the two Kohanim, Evyosar and Tzadok, back to Yerushalayim with the Aron, with the Urim V'Tumim. They had all gone back to Yerushalayim. These two Kohanim, Evyosar and Tzadok, had their sons positioned in a way that they could bring news to David. They would let him know what's happening in the city, and they would bring news to David. Tzadok's son was Achimatz. Now, he obviously was there. He had, at this point, once Avshalom had come out to attack David, he was now with David's forces. And he knew that Avshalom was killed. And Achimatz ben Tzadok Omar. So Achimatz, the son of Tzadok, said, Arutzana, let me run now. Vavatsra Samelach. I want to bring the news to the king. Kishfoto Hashem. Hashem has judged him. Miyad Oivo, from the hand of his enemies. David has his enemies. It's Avshalom. And Hashem has involved himself and shown who's right and judged the case. Justice has been done. He's going to run and tell David. Vayomalo Yoav. So Yoav said to him, Lo ish besoro ato hayom hazeh. You're not a man who's bringing news today. Today's not a day to bring news to the king. And the word besoro usually means good news. Like vivasalon besoros tovas. It goes together, besoros, but it's usually manovu ala harim ragli mavaser. Mavaser is somebody who's got good news to bring you. I guess besoros tovas is very good news. Or it's a double expression, besoros tovos. But Besoros is usually good news. And Yoav said, Lo ish besora ato hayom hazeh. You're not a man bringing good news today. Uvisar to be yom acher. Bring the news on a different day. Vayom hazeh lo savaser. And today don't bring the news. Ki al kain ben hamelech meis, because the son of the king is dead. Now we're going to see, it continues back and forth. Achimatz insists on going, and Yoav tells him, no, not to go, and he says, I'll go anyways, back and forth. And the Malbim explains what Yoav was telling him was, David is going to be very upset that Avshalom was killed. Now sometimes people are in charge. The king will put people in charge. On Monday, this person has to bring him the news. And on Tuesday, somebody else should bring the news. And on today is your day to bring news to the king. So on that, Yoav said to Achimatz, Lo ish besora ata. You're not the man who has to bring the news hayom today. Lo ish besora ata hayom hazeh. Today's not your day to bring the news. So if you don't have to tell the king what happened, you shouldn't be the one to do it. Now, you might feel that, let's tell over the praise of Hashem and the Hashkocha, how Hashem helped out David. In other words, I don't have to do it, but it'd be good for me to tell David. And they all realize this was from Hashem, Kishvoto Hashem, Hashem has judged his case. This was miraculous, the fact of how Avshalom was killed and David was saved. But we start to be yom acher. If you're looking for a day and you want to bring David HaMelech news that David will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's another day that would be more appropriate where you can give him news that he'll totally sing the praises of Hashem. But today, true, he's saved, but it's mixed with the sadness. V'hayom hazeh lo sevaser. And even if you say, well, I'll let him know I won't discuss Avshalom. I'll just tell him that he was saved. He was saved from his enemies. But Vayom Hazeh Lo Sevaser, so you're not going to be able to bring him good news. You're going to go ahead and you're going to tell him the enemy were defeated. It's immediately going to leave him. What happened to Avshalom? It's going to lead to questioning. And Kiel Ben HaMelech Meis, the son of the king died. It's written without, that's the way it's written, Ki al ben hamelech, because the son of the king died. We read a Ki al kain, like therefore, as a direct connection. In other words, if you're going to say, Shvoto Hashem, Hashem has judged David from his enemies, Ki al kain, that is the reason why Avshalom died. It's not just there was a battle and Avshalom was died, and this is good news mixed with bad news. Your enemies were defeated, the bad news is Avshalom was killed. It's all one package. Because Hashem has judged David from his enemies, that's why Avshalom is killed. So how can you go ahead and bring good news without mentioning that Avshalom was killed? So it's better if you don't say anything. Now's not the day for this. Vayomer Yoav LaKushi. So Yoav turned to the Kushi. Simply that means a black man. And he told him, Leichagin Lamelech, go and tell the king Asher Issa, tell the king what you saw. Vayishtachu Chushi LeYoav, the Kushi prostrated himself, he like fell flat on the ground, he bowed down to Yoav, accepting the mission, Vayorots, and he ran. Tell the king, Ashero Issa, what you saw. We've discussed a number of times. The one who saw Avshalom suspended, hanging from the tree, was not one of the prominent people in the army. He was one of the lowest status. And yet we saw his devotion to David and his greatness and the fact he said, you could give me 1,000 coins. Lushogel al kapai elef kesef, if it was holding in my hand 1,000 silver coins, I wouldn't go ahead and kill Avshalom. The king said, don't do anything. And then Yoav said, I'm not going to argue with you, I'm not going to beg you. And Yoav killed Avshalom himself. He stabbed him. But this was, the one who saw him was this Cushi. Some say Cushi, he wasn't born Jewish. He was a black man who became from Kush from Ethiopia, and he was Magayer, and he joined Klal Yisrael. And you see his greatness that he regarded David HaMelech's words with such importance, even though his commander, Yoav, was telling him to do otherwise. Some say Cushi was, he was a Jewish person, but he looked different. He stood out, he was a different type of person. He didn't have a bright, cheerful countenance. He looked dark, and the news that he was going to bring was going to be dark, depressing, melancholy news. He's the Cushi. And then a third explanation is the Cushi means just like by Tzipora Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Alodus HaKushi Sasher Lokoch, she was called the Cushi, so we had Shoal was referred to as Cushi, that just like the Cushi's skin is so different in color from everyone else, this person's actions were so totally different than everyone else. The fact that he was willing to go against, he's a bit of an enigma. On one hand, he went against Yoav, he cared so much about David, and he had such a tamimus, a simplicity, and a yashrus, a straightness, that he didn't even realize that going to David with this bad news, it's not a mission that anybody wants to take on themselves. On one hand, he refused to kill Avshalom, even though Yoav told him. On the other hand, Yoav told him to go to David, and Yoav didn't even tell him to run. Because Yoav knows this is really bad news. Somebody's got to tell David. But Leich Haged LaMelech, go and tell the king. But instead of going reluctantly and with misgivings, it says Vayarot, he went running. He was like bringing, like he was so high. In other words, Yoav told him to do it, and it wasn't like he was told by David not to. In other words, Yoav told him to do it. He goes running to fulfill the orders of the general. And yet, it wasn't like he took everything that the general Yoav said. He had such a concern for David. So Yoav said to the Cushi, go and tell the king what you have seen. The Cushi was the one who saw Avshalom hanging. He's the one who saw it. So he turned to the Cushi and he said, you tell the king what you saw. Vayishtachu Cushi leYoav. The Cushi bowed to Yoav, showing he's subservient, he's accepting this mission. Vayarot, and he ran off. Vayosef od Achimatz ben Tzaruk vayomer al Yoav. So Achimatz, the son of Tzaruk, persisted. And he said to Yoav, Vihima, let it be whatever it is. So what? Arutzana gamani, I also will run. Achrei HaKushi, I'll also go running after the Cushi. Now again, it's not clear why he's so determined he wants to go. It's almost as if he figures the Cushi will tell David HaMelech what he saw. He's going to tell David that he saw Avshalom hanging from the tree. And then Achimatz will come running with the news that there was a victory and Avshalom's forces were defeated. So he'll bring the good news about the victory. Vayomer Yoav, and Yoav said, Lomazah, why is this that Atarotz, you want to run, Bini, my son? I care for you. What do you want to run for? Ulechayim besora motzeis, you're not going to find a reward for the good news. It used to be if somebody would bring good news, they'd give him a tip. You know, I'm happy you brought that. You'll get a prize. As Rashi says, Eimatashar besora metzuya hayom. You're not going to get any reward for bringing good news today. So if the Cushi is going to tell David that Avshalom was killed, and then you're going to say, don't worry, there was a victory, it's not, David's not going to be happy with you. There's not going to be any reward. There's no reason for you to go running. Vihima! So what? Arutz, I'll run anyways. Achimatz is determined he's gonna run. Could be he figures he'll run and he'll get there before the Cushi. So David won't know what happened to Avshalom. He'll come first. And he'll tell David that there was a victory. Good news. And he won't discuss anything more than the fact that there was a victory. And then the Cushi will come and tell the bad news that Avshalom was killed. But he's determined he wants to bring the news of the victory. Behima, so what? Arutz, I'll run. Vayomer lo rutz. So Yoav said to him, so run. Obviously he's got to run because the whole purpose is to get there before the Cushi. Because once David hears that Avshalom was killed, there's no news could be good after hearing that. But if he gets there first, he can tell about the victory. David will be happy, and then later on he'll find out the tragedy. Vayoretz Achimatz derech haKikor. Achimatz ran by way of the Kikor, the flatland. Vayavaretz haKushi, and he surpassed. He got ahead of the Kushi, and he arrived first. By the way, the Gemara always brings this pasuk. It says you have to make a bracha on the mitzvah over lasa yosin before you do it. The Gemara says, how do you know over means before? And it brings this pasuk, vayavaretz haKushi. He got ahead of the Kushi that he was in front. Sachimatz, he took a different route. There was a standard way to go, but there's obviously hills and valleys in this area. And he found a better route, which might have been more circuitous, but it was flat land, so he was able to go quicker. But David Yoshev ben Shnei Asharim. David was sitting between the two gates of the city he was in. There was an inner wall, and then there was a space, and then there was another wall. And very often that was a way they would defend the city. This way they could fight by the outer wall, and when it looked like they were about to, the enemy was about to overrun that wall, they'd quickly run into the inner wall, and then the enemy would have to start the whole project again, how to get to the second wall. But David was sitting between the two gates, between these two walls. The lookout went, there was a lookout on the wall who was supposed to report what he sees, and he went El Gag Hashar, to the roof over this gate. El Hachoma, to the wall. Vayisa Seinov, and the lookout raised his eyes. Vayari Sov, Hine Ishwat Slavado. There was a man running all by himself. And the Malbim points out, it says, Vayelech Hatzofe El Gag Hashar. He went to the roof of the gate, and it didn't say on the wall, or the gate of the wall. It says he went El to the roof of the gate, El Hachoma, to the wall. It seems like the lookout went to this gate, the roof of the gate. He stood right over the gate. He was looking at the road as you come into the city. And there's nobody on the road. And he's high up and he must have a good field of vision. And there's nothing doing there. So he went El Hachoma. And he turned. He was able to walk on the wall. He went a little to the side to see maybe there's something doing from a different direction. And he sees somebody running all by himself. Now, normally, the lookout who's high up would call to the shower, the gate man, and he would tell him whatever he sees, and then the gate man would decide whether to open the gates or not. Or if he has a question, he could always ask David, who is sitting between the gates. But you don't have the guy yelling from on top of the wall to David, to the king, what's going on. Normally, you tell the gate man. But in this case, he knew that David was so worried and so concerned with what's happening. Vayikra hatzofe vayage lamelech. The lookout called out and he spoke directly to the king. From on top of the wall, he called to David. Chazal say that in a figurative way. David was sitting bein shnei hasha'arim. He was between the two gates. It was like he felt he was in this tight spot. He's surrounded by a wall on both sides, like no way to escape. Right now, he's in battle against Avshalom. If Avshalom wins, David figured he would be killed. And if he wins, could be Avshalom would be killed. And if Avshalom's forces are defeated, so the Yidden, the Jews on that side are killed. And if Avshalom's forces win, so the Jews on his side are killed. It's a no-win situation. And this is a civil war with his own son, and they're all Jewish people involved. He's caught in between the gates. And David HaMelech is sitting there wondering, what's happening? So the Tzofa calls out and he says to the king, Vayomer HaMelech, and he tells the king what he saw, that there's a man running by himself. Vayomer HaMelech, so the king said, Im Levado, if he's running by himself, Desoro Befiv, he has news. He must have good news in his mouth. Because if the army was defeated, you would see a rout, and you'd see all of David HaMelech's men running. And they would run back. Where are they going to run? They would run back to David. They'd run back to the city. This one person by himself? Must be there's a victory. And they sent a messenger with the good news. Vayelech holoch. So the runner continued. Vekarev, and he's getting closer. We'll see in a moment. Vayar, this was the Kushi. He was approaching the city, not on the main road, not approaching the gate. He was coming from a different direction. Vayar HaTzofe, then the lookout saw, ish acher rots. There's another person running. Vayikra hatzofa el hashoer. So the lookout called to the man at the gate. He didn't call to the king again. He called to the king the first time to say that he sees somebody running. And this was sort of out of protocol. You don't directly, the lookout doesn't speak to the king. And certainly not every little bit of information to keep on saying, I saw this, and then tell the king, I saw that. In other words, his conversation should be with the gate man. So the first thing he spoke to David, and now to say that he sees another person, Vayikra hatzofa el hashoer, he spoke directly to the man in charge of the gate. Vayomer, and he said, Hine yishvat lavado. Behold, the chiddush, this is surprising. There's a man running by himself that I see from this position. And the king obviously heard, although the information was relayed to him. Vayomer Hamelech, and the king said, Gam zemavaser. If there's, again, there's only one person running, again, it doesn't seem like the army was defeated. It also must be good news. So there's two people running separately with good news. Actually, the first one was Achimatz, like we'll see right now. Vayomer Hatzofa, the lookout said, Ani roes merutzas harishon. I see the running of the first person. Kimrutzas Achimatz ben Sorok. And he looks, I can't recognize his face, it's at a distance. But from his stride and from his movements, it seems like the runner is Achimatz ben Sorok. That's who it is. Vayomer HaMelech, the king said, Ish tov zeh. Achimatz is a good man. Vel besora tova yovo, and therefore we can assume a good man is coming with good news. Of course, well, what's he supposed to do if it's bad news? But the assumption is, could be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somehow it seems that the good people are bringing good news, and the bad people are the type of people who always seem to bring the bad news. You know, somebody was once telling me he's, whatever, he sells some type, you know, in, like a real estate guy who sells insurance, he's a salesman. And he said people, when they deal with a salesman, like to see somebody who's a success. Because somehow they figure if the salesman's a success, it's probably good to buy from him. You know, if he's a good person, usually a good person has good news, and you can assume Achimatz ben Sorok will bear good news. It could also be simply sees him running. A good person wants to bring good news. If it's bad news, the person tries to avoid it and sort of drags his feet. But if you see somebody running, we can assume it's a good person. The Gemara actually says in Pesachim, the Gemara says on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, talking about bringing good news. It brings a story. It says, Rav Kahana was sick. Rav Kahana Cholash. He became sick, and they didn't know if it was obviously a critical sickness. Shadru Rabbanan le Rav Yeshua Breid Ravidi. The Rabbanan sent Rav Yeshua Breid Ravidi. Amrle, and they said to him, Zil Bedok, my Dine, go and see what's happening with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana's sick, see what's doing with him. Also, so Rav Yeshua Breid Ravidi came. Ashkechei Denoch Nafshei. And when he came, he found out Rav Kahana was Nifter. Kare, he tore his clothing. He did Kriya. Lilavushay's clothing. Vahadre Lakari Lachori, and then he turned his garment that the tear wouldn't be visible. He turned the garment that it was, the tear was in the back, so that people wouldn't notice it. Ubachi, and he was crying. Vasin, he came to the Rabbanan with this bad news, but he didn't want to say anything. And he turned the where he tore his garment, it wasn't facing the people, so it shouldn't be so evident. Amar Lehu, they said to him, Noch Nafshei, Rav Kahana was Nifter. Amar Lehu, he responded, Ano lo kamina. I never said that. But it was understood. And you said, and he told him, you said, and I didn't say that. But the implication was clear. And he came and he was crying, but he didn't want to be the one to say the news. They figured it out on his own. Motzi Diba Huksil, the one who brings forth the talk is a fool. You know, it's to say words that are just going to cause. It seems, I know, sometimes the news has to be conveyed, but to say over news that's going to pain somebody else and it's going to hurt him and make and sadden him, a person shouldn't bring bad news. So if it's got to be conveyed, he'll have to find a way to convey it. But don't go ahead and say bad news. And it's not even by a death. The Gemara says, Yochanan Kakuko. There was another person, Nofak Lekaryasa. He went out to the village to see what was doing. He also, when he returned, when he arrived in the village, he wanted to inspect what was doing with the investments. So Amrulay, they told him, Chitim Nasu, Yofos. In other words, when he came back, they asked him, well, how are things doing in your villages? How are the fields doing? So they asked him, Chitim Nasu Yofos, is the wheat doing well? Omar Lahemi said to them, Sarim Nasi Yofos, the barley was good. As they asked him, how's the wheat? So he said, the barley's good. Omar Lahemi said to him, Sayuvasu Susan Vlachamorim, so go ahead and tell the horses and the donkeys that the barley's good. Dichsiv, because it says, Hasaorim Vateven Lasusim Vlarachesh, barley is for the animals. So I'm asking you how the wheat is. You tell me the barley's good. So you can tell the horses they'll have what to eat. It doesn't help us. So Gemara asks, "My avlei lemeimer, what should he have said?" He didn't want to tell him the wheat was bad. So what should he have said? The Gemara answers, he could have told him, "Eshtaka nasu chitim yafos." Last year the wheat was good. You ask me how the wheat is. Last year it was good. Inami or tell them adoshim nasu yafos. The lentils were good because lentils was eaten by people. So if they're asking how the wheat is, you can tell them the lentils are good. But to say that the barley is good, that's no consolation, because barley was for the animals. It wasn't considered human food, so that's no consolation. But you see from the Gemara, this idea that ki'ish tov zev el b'sora tov yovo, if it's achimatz ben sorok, he must be bringing good news. Vayikra achimatz, so achimatz called out, vayomra l'melech, and he said to the king, shalom, peace! Because he wanted to come there first with the good news of the victory. So he said, it's good. The king bowed on his face, orza to the ground. The king is bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer, he said, Baruch Hashem. Oh, sorry. Vayishtachu l'melech achimatz, bowed toward the king. La'apov on his face, orza. He bowed to the king. Vayomer achimatz said, Baruch Hashem Elokecha. Blessed is Hashem your God. He said Elokecha as if this was a sign of respect, of kavod for David. Like he has a special relationship with Hashem. That's why he didn't say Elokeinu, our Elokim. But as if David is special, it's Elokecha. Blessed is Hashem Elokecha. Asher sigar es ha'anoshim. He handed over those people. Asher nosu es yodam, who raised their hands. Ba'adoni ha'melech, against my master, the king. Now, he was originally planning to say, Hashem has judged your enemies. Hashem has judged you from your enemies. After all this debate with Yoav, Yoav told him, don't go, and it's not going to be good news, and he's not going to want to hear from you, and don't do it today. Achimatz ended up persisting in going. But he did say the message differently. He didn't say, Hashem is judging you from your enemies. There's no pun, no... It wasn't so tragic. Hashem handed your enemies over into your hands. But he didn't say what happened. Could be nobody was killed. Could be it was a defeat. Sigar es hanoshim, Hashem has given over those people who raised their hands against the king. Vayomer hamelech, the king said, Shalom lanar l'avshalom. The first question, is everything well with Avshalom? The simple meaning is, it's rhetoric. He's asking him, how's Avshalom doing? But if you look later on, in Pasuk Lamed Beis, he uses the term HaShalom. Is there peace for the Nar of Shalom? This Pasuk could even be read as a statement. Shalom L'Nar of Shalom. I just want to verify, I just want to make sure. Everything's well with Avshalom, right? It's like, David is understanding, you're telling me Shalom, everything is peace, and you're blessing Hashem, that everyone was given over to my forces. I just want to make sure. Shalom L'Nar of Shalom. Everything's well with Avshalom, right? But it's like understood. I just want to verify that. Vayomer Achimatz. So Achimatz doesn't want to discuss Avshalom. He says, Ro'isi he'amon ha'godol. I saw there was a great commotion. There was a lot of people. There was a big tumult. There was a great crowd. Lishloach es eved ha'melech. To send the servant of the king. Yoav. Be'es avdecha, and your servant. The lashon, the expression is very unclear what it means. It could mean there was a great crowd of people and they urged that Yoav and I should come and tell you what happened. There was a Hamon Gadol, a big crowd of people, Yishloach Esavet HaMelech, they wanted to send the servant of the king, who's Yoav, Ve'esav Dechon, your servant, meaning himself, and the two of us were supposed to come and tell the king what happened. I didn't even know exactly what happened. There was a big tumult, they wanted us to bring the news, so I immediately took off to tell you that there was a victory. You want to know about Avshalom, probably Yoav will be on his way. He'll let us know. It could also mean, which is the way Rashi learns other Mefarshim, I saw this Hamon HaGadol, this big crowd of people that had gathered, Lishloach es Eved HaMelech, to send the servant of the king. The servant of the king was this Kushi, who was going to be sent, the black man. And there was a big crowd who was involved in sending the Eved HaMelech. And the one who did it was Yoav. Yoav sent the Kushi. There was a crowd to send the Eved HaMelech through Yoav. The Esav Dechon, I'm also sent. So I'm here, and the Kushi is coming. I don't know more details than that. And again, could be the Pasuk is written in this way, either because in general he was running, so he didn't say it with a coherency, or on purpose he was saying as if he's not, the whole thing is not clear to him, he's not speaking clearly. You know, you can't get more information from Achimatz. He really doesn't know exactly what happened, and you can't really get a straight sentence from him. But all he knows is that Hashem has given over those people into your hands. Vayomer HaMelech. So the king said, Sov, turn to the side. Hisyatsev ko, stand here. Vayiso vayamod. So Achimatz turned to the side. Vayamod, and he stood there. It could be he wasn't sure exactly what to do. Maybe Achimatz deserves a reward for the good news. But let's find out if it is good news. He's not going to give any promise now until he finds out what happened. Whether he deserves a tip for bringing the good news. But Chazal actually said he did promise Achimatz that he would give him something for bringing the good news. V'hinei HaKushi bo. But regardless, he told Achimatz to stand at the side, whether he did promise him a reward or not. But stand on the side. V'hinei HaKushi bo. And now the Kushi comes. V'yomer HaKushi. And the Kushi says, Yispaser Adoni HaMelech. My master, the king, should hear the good news. Ki shefotcha Hashem hayom. Hashem has judged your case today. Again, everyone realizes this is the Yad Hashem. Hashem has taken up your case. Miyad kol akomim alecha. From the hand of all those that arise up against you. Vayomer hamelech el hakushi. And the king says to the kushi, Hashalom lanar lav shalom. Is there peace with the Nar of Shalom? Again, here it's clear, it's a question. To Achimatz, he said to him, is there Shalom la Nar of Shalom? Is everything good? And I could tell Achimatz gave him an unclear answer. That they were going to send me, and they were going to send somebody else, and I don't know the exact story. But David could be already felt that there's something amiss. And now the fact that the Kushi came, and the Kushi did use an expression, Hashem has judged your case, as if there's a right person and there's a wrong person, and the right person is okay and the wrong person is going to get a punishment. Hashem has judged your case. So now he asked him directly, Hashalom lenar lav shalom? Is there peace to the nar av shalom? How's the lad av shalom doing? Vayomer HaKushi, and the Kushi responds, Yuchanar. Like that lad should be the Oyvei Adoni HaMelech, the enemies of my master, the king. All your enemies should have a fate like the Nar. V'chol asher komu alecha l'ra'ah. And all those that arise against you to do evil should have an end like the Nar. So it was very clear that Avshalom was killed. And that was the only thing that concerned David HaMelech. He didn't ask anything about any details about the battle. His one question was, what happened to Avshalom? And we saw when they went out to war. David HaMelech knew that if there's a war, people will be killed. And he said, La'at li lanar l'Avshalom, go easy on the lad. Go easy on Avshalom. And now it's clear that Avshalom was killed. And how David will react, we'll see him, Yirtz Hashem, in Perek Yud Tes.